So the reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning at the beginning of the chapter. One day, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost." But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah, around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah the priest, who was wearing the ephod, the priestly vest. Ahijah was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord who had served at Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Sene. The cliff on the north was in front of Michmash, and the one on the south was in front of Geba. "Let's go across to the outposts of those pagans," Jonathan said to his armor bearer. "Perhaps the Lord will help us. For nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few." "Do what you think is best," the armor bearer replied. "I'm with you completely, whatever you decide." "All right then," Jonathan told him. "We will cross over and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Stay where you are, or we will kill you,' then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up and fight,' then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them." When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, "Look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes." Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, "Come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson." "Come on. Climb right behind me," Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "for the Lord will help us defeat them." So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and raiding parties. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. Saul's lookouts in Gibeah of Benjamin saw a strange sight. The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction. "Call the roll and find out who's missing," Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. Then Saul shouted to Ahijah, "Bring the ephod here." For at that time, Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. But while Saul was talking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. So Saul said to the priest, "Never mind, let's get going." Then Saul and all his men rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was a terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews, who had previously gone over to the Philistine army, revolted and joined in with Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of the Israelites. Likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle continued to rage even beyond Beth Aven. This is the word of the Lord.
Pauline, I'm glad that Helen read that and not me.
Sorry about all the difficult words.
It's one of those. Lord, we do thank you for Pauline and all she means to us. Father, you know what she's done in the past and where you've blessed her, and also the way you've protected her. Lord, we do pray for her. We ask now that we'll hear, not just with our ears, but our hearts and our souls, what you've got for us. Lord, we ask that you'll bless her at the same time. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Am I on?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Right. Well, those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Pauline. I'm currently with my husband on the leadership at King's Community Church in Letchworth, where God has led us by quite a circuitous, that's the word, route. But I'm really pleased to be back here this morning. And I want to talk about courage. So if we can have the first slide. I do love it when a plan comes together. And you didn't know what I was going to talk about, did I?
No.
And, you know, when we sang, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It's talking about courage.
Yeah.
And so it was just brilliant. Thank you so much for that worship, because it just fitted in absolutely perfectly with the message. And I just want to say to you this morning, chose that passage because it talks about courage. And we're just going to unpack that for a few minutes this morning. But let me tell you, courage is contagious. If you don't remember anything else from this morning, remember that. Courage is contagious. Demonstrations of courage, they change atmospheres. They change people. Courage is powerful. However, there's something that very often gets in the way of courage. What's that?
Fear.
And it's a myth that those who follow their dreams are fearless. They're extroverts. They show up, they stand up, they speak up. They don't have any fear. They just are full of courage. How else could they have gotten where they are, unless their lives were devoid of fear? So what causes fear in you? Answers on a postcard?
Other people's anger.
Other people's anger, yeah? Any other thoughts about what causes fear in you? Past experience, yeah. Fear of rejection. Fear of the unknown. There are lots of things, if we think about it, that could cause fear in us. And, I don't know if any of you read Word for the Day, but on May the 4th, it said, many of us have a God-sized dream within us, but we're so afraid of failing that we never try. We can't imagine how it could possibly happen, so we don't act on it. Here's the challenge. Don't worry about the outcome. That isn't your responsibility. Whose responsibility is it? God's responsibility. And I know that God has asked me in the past to step out into some things. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to happen, God. That's not our problem. We just need to step out. It's like Peter in the boat, you know. It wasn't his problem about how he's going to walk on the water. He just needed to step out the boat. God did the rest. We just need to act on it. In fact, and it probably won't be anything big to start with. It may not be anything big. God wants to build up our trust. When God started with me, he said, Pauline, I want you to, I think it was from Doug, I want you to take over the Sunday school, was it? Were you in? Yeah. That was here. And I had been a teacher in a previous life, and Doug was wanting to step down, and he was the superintendent, the Sunday school superintendent. And I said, I am not going to be called that. But that was a small step, and that stood me in good stead for the bigger steps that God led me onto. Everything that's big starts small. And we need to remember Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. See, God wants us to be people of courage. And I just looked up a few quotes on courage. These aren't Bible, but I think they're quite good. Courage is like a muscle. We strengthen it by use. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. And that was Mark Twain. And Nelson Mandela, you can't read that because it's in quite small. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. And if anybody had cause to fear, it was Nelson Mandela. The brave man or woman is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And if we have the next slide, I do want to ground this in scripture as well. In Deuteronomy, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Well-known one in Joshua. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And in Corinthians, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. So God wants to build up our courage. He wants us to be people of courage. And when we look at people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Daniel in the lion's den. Do you think he had fear? I reckon he did. What about David and Goliath? When he stood, when David stood there in front of Goliath, do you think his knees were knocking? I think they might have been. But he trusted God. Elijah, 450 prophets of Baal. Come on, God. You know, you've got to do this, God, otherwise I'm going to look a right idiot. Peter, Paul, Jesus himself. Jesus, well, we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he prayed, didn't he? Please take this cup away from me. You know, he knew what was ahead, but he conquered that fear. Okay, so thank you, Helen, for reading 1 Samuel 14. But I want to do a little bit of background before we come into this story from chapter 13. Okay, if we can just leave those scriptures up for a minute. Okay, so we know that from reading our Old Testament, which I know that you are all so familiar with, that the Philistines and the Israelites were constantly at war with each other. Constant battles, victories, defeats throughout the Old Testament. And here in chapter 13, I would encourage you to go and read that again. The Israelites prepare once more to go out to battle with the Philistines. And it says in chapter 13, it says, verse 5. The Philistines assembled to fight the Israelites with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Ben-Avon. When the Israelites saw their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. So we can see where we are. I like to know where I'm talking about. So we've got River Jordan, the Dead Sea, Michmash, and the Israelites were at Gilgal. But the Philistines, you know, 3,000 chariots, 6,000 men, they were well equipped. It is no wonder that the Israelites didn't have much courage at that point. In fact, they were so fearful, they hid in caves and they hid in pits away from the Philistines. Some of them even went over to the Philistines thinking, we're not going to win this. They hid, they deserted. And Saul was left, if we see right at the beginning of chapter 14, Saul was left with 600 men. I think you're getting the picture here. 600 against all these thousands, as numerous as the seashore, sand on the seashore. And not only were his forces very depleted, but they weren't even well equipped. I just want you to get a picture of what was going on here. It says that, where is it? It wasn't what we read. Yeah, in the end of chapter 13, sorry, I just lost my place there for a minute. Saul's army, 600, were not even well equipped. At the end of chapter 13, before we come into chapter 14, it says this: not a blacksmith could be found in the whole of Israel, because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews would make swords or spears. So all Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plowshares, matlocks, axes and sickles sharpened. Even their harvesting tools, they had to go to the Philistines to get them sharpened. The price of 2/3 of a shekel for sharpening these implements. And so they had no swords. So on the day of battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or a spear in his hand. Only Saul and Jonathan had them. So we've got all these thousands and thousands of Philistines and their chariots and all their army and armor, and there's 600 of the Israelites, and the only people who've got swords and armor are Saul and Jonathan. It is a very dire situation. Now, if you were a BBC reporter, I think you would say, I think the odds are on the Philistines. I think we're going to... Sorry?
Overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly, Helen, overwhelmingly. But what the Israelites forgot was that they got God on their side. If only they would trust him. So then we come into chapter 14. And Jonathan, who has got a sword, says to his armor bearer, let's go to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. Why do you think he didn't tell his dad that he was going? Sorry? He might have talked him out of it, but also Saul was in the habit of taking the praise for what other people did. If you remember, David won several battles and Saul was like, didn't I do well? Maybe that was the reason. Maybe, as Lorna said, he thought his dad would talk him out of it. And he had the most weird battle strategy we could ever imagine. First of all, there were only two of them, and there was a whole gang. It turns out to be 20 or so Philistines. Two, and only one of them's got a sword. But he's got courage, and he's trusting in God. That's the difference. And he says, to his young, his armor bearer is obviously dedicated to Jonathan without a sword. And he says, wherever you go, I'll go, you know. So in verse 6, Jonathan says to his young armor bearer, come, let us go to the outpost of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord, you see, straight away, his trust is in God. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. He knew it wasn't about numbers, just like David and Goliath knew it wasn't about numbers. The armor bearer says, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead, I'm with you, heart and soul. Jonathan says, come on then, we will cross over towards them and let them see us. Now, come on, Jonathan, get a grip here. There's 20 of them, they're high up in this enclosed space. If we can have the next slide. If you can imagine, these are medieval fortresses in this country. But if you can imagine, it's obviously the outpost wasn't as big as that, but they were high up, these Philistines, and Jonathan and his armor bearer say, let them see us. Excuse me, Jonathan, you are going to lose the element of surprise here. But he trusted God, you see. And then he says something really weird. He says, if they say to us, wait here till we come down to you, we'll stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that God has given them into our hands. So that's a bit weird, but God sometimes does say weird things to you. When I was being interviewed to do a schools worker job in Bedford, I came out of the interview and I sat in my car and there was about six people being interviewed and I was the oldest by a long way because it was for working in a secondary school. And I sat in my car and I felt God said to me, Pauline, you were sitting the wrong side of the table. I said, what? What did that mean? And what it turned out that it meant was that I should have been doing the interviewing rather than being interviewed. And as a result of that, I came back, talked to the church, and we set up the CIS. There was lots of us involved in that. And 3 years after that word, I was sitting on the other side of the table interviewing somebody for that job. So when God gives you a weird word, don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. So the Philistines see them and they say, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were in. And they say, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. It's exactly what Jonathan had said. If God says, so Jonathan, single Jonathan with one sword and all armor bearer with no sword, climb up. You imagine they're scaling up in full view of all the Philistines. And we know it's much easier to fight people coming up than it is people going up fighting them. But they managed to defeat the whole garrison. It was the worst battle plan ever. But God often brings victory in a very different way to us. Let's have the next slide, Dawn. Because this is what it says in Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It was a complete act of courage and trust in God. And courage is contagious. Jonathan's a man of outstanding faith and courage, in contrast to Saul, whose pride and disobedience to God and his caused his spiritual decline. And eventually God rejected him, didn't he, as king? And God doesn't need numbers to win a victory. He doesn't. We're so often intimidated and influenced by the size of the problem or the enemy, but God is never intimidated or influenced by how big the enemy or how complex the situation. With God, there are always enough resources to win the battle. If God's called you to action, then commit to him the resources and rely on him to lead you to victory. And two verses. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And in Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. So often we think with our brains, and I know we shouldn't shoot our brains out when we become Christians, but sometimes we are too logical for our own good. Our intellect sometimes gets in the way. As a result of Jonathan's courage and faith in God, we see in the rest of chapter 14, what an amazing thing happens. Panic strikes the Philistines. They hear about this outpost has been taken. Panic was sent by God. There's an earthquake. Who sent the earthquake? I think that might have been God as well. And Saul gathers his army, and just 600 of them. And Saul and his army assembled and went into battle, and they found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. My goodness. See, God saw one man's courage and said, he trusts me, I can do the rest. He did his bit, I'm going to do my bit now. And it gets even better, because the Philistines are in total confusion, fighting each other. And those Hebrews had previously gone over to the Philistines, saw Jonathan's courage, came back to Saul. Those ones that had been hiding in the pits and in the caves. They came and joined in the battle. They had renewed hope and courage. They came out of hiding to fight along Saul and his army. One man's courage, one man's trust in God helped the whole Israelite army to win an amazing battle, because he trusted in God. He did what God had asked him. He listened to God, weird word that he went with, and the battle was the Lord's. And there was complete success for the Israelites. It didn't mean that they didn't come across the Philistines ever again, because they did. Yeah, we've got the last slide up there. So courage is contagious. When I was diagnosed with my cancer a year ago, somebody gave me a book by John Piper, which is quite a well-known American writer. And it said, "Do not waste your cancer," which is quite a weird title. And I have tried to do that, because I just want to come alongside other people who found themselves in a similar situation. And maybe through my experience, I can help them a bit, make it a bit of an easier journey. You know, it might seem, you know, I'm not celebrating the fact that, and I've still got cancer, because I'm going to be having some more treatment, I think. And I'm not celebrating that, but I am celebrating what God is able to do through me, through that. Because it's about courage. And courage is contagious. So I want to ask you, as we draw this to a close, what is it that you need courage for today? Maybe like me, I need courage going to see my oncologist on Wednesday, because I don't know what he's going to say. I think he's going to say I need some more chemotherapy, which is not the best news in the world, but God knows, and he's in charge. So I need courage for that. What about you? What does this week hold for you? What do you need courage for? Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's finances, maybe it's health. Now, I didn't bring a message just to tickle people's ears this morning. I brought a message that I felt people needed to hear. So I want to ask for people to be brave and courageous, since that's what we've been talking about. And if you need courage, you don't have to tell anybody what it's about, but if you need courage this week, then if you are able, I would ask you to stand. If you need courage.